Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The great news is God is a God of the first half and the second half. God is a God who sets the tone at the beginning of the game and makes sure as we finish strong. When we just sang it is nailed to the cross, I need bear it no more. I'm here as a baler bear to say it feels good not to have to bear it anymore. My TV went off at halftime last night, and so as far as I know, everything turned out fine. Actually, the TV didn't go off, but the game went off, and I kind of crawled myself to bed. But Sunday morning came, just like a resurrection day, and a Sunday morning has a way of putting everything into perspective, doesn't it? Seeing what really is most important and what's less important, and make sure we lean into that which is most important. Prayer is a communication with God that always takes us into God's presence so that we may see most clearly what is most important, taking us into the very presence of the Creator of the heavens and the universe, and the one who loves us and designs His love in a way that we will win in life, and we need to align ourselves with Him, and that's where prayer is. In the brief message this morning before a time of communion, and every follower of Jesus Christ is invited to take part of the cup and the bread. Every seeker of Christ is invited to step into the fullness of God's love for you through Christ and receive His gift of salvation for you. And the power of this invitation, we're stepping into this story of one of the Old Testament's best-known kings, but least known also to us. His name is Hezekiah. This is not a history lesson about Hezekiah. It's not a history lesson about Israel per se. But it is a way of looking in through his life to be able to see what God is wanting to show us and can show us in our 21st century. The name Hezekiah means God strengthens. You need that. I need that. We all need that. God comes then to strengthen us by the power of his presence. He comes that Hezekiah came throughout his lifetime, that it was his stretches, trusting in the promises of God, for God to be the source of his strength, and then to be able to honor God by how he lived and led as Israel's king. Now, your life is lived in the context, and so is mine and ours together. Our nation is in a particular context right now with a lot of good that's occurring, and also in the midst of crisis in Washington, D.C., that we feel the effect in our own life. But I got good news. God is the God of the second half as well as the first half. He's the God of the resurrection after the Calvary, and he is the God that brings hope into our lives now. What we discover in the midst of this story of Hezekiah is that God releases three powerful forces through humble prayer, and that is how Hezekiah learned to pray with humility. We're headed towards Thanksgiving of 2019. We recall why Thanksgiving began as a new people upon this nation called America, and that in the midst of recognizing our gratitude for the blessings, our need for God's strength for the challenges, that God is a God for equally available to each and every one, and we come in Thanksgiving as a people of God in order to be shaped by Him. Is there ever a time that America needs to be shaped by humility with God is right now? And in this prayer for Hezekiah, his context was this. He lived almost a little less than 300 years after King David. He lived at a time in which the country of Israel was falling apart. The country to the north had already been a civil war, there had already been division in the land, and Israel, as many of you know, had 12 tribes. 10 of the tribes lived in the northern part of Israel, and they were lost to war with Assyria. And after they lost the war with Assyria in 722 BC, they were never known again. To think of Jews today is thinking of the two tribes to the south in southern Israel called Judah. The 10 tribes to the north, never known again in history, carried away to faraway lands, but the promises of God continued on. Hezekiah came to be the king of the southern Israel during that period of time. It was a difficult stretch, to say the least, to be the king of the people of the south, knowing that the same oppressor of Assyria was pressing upon them. And in the midst of this, Hezekiah's prayer life took on new shape. He had already was a person who had leaned into trusting God. He was a person who wanted God's ways to win and to be known in the world. But more and more of him needed to give more and more of himself to God so he could know more and more of who God is for the times in which he lived. The same is true for you and true for me, that more of us would give ourselves to more of God so that more of God can come and live with us in his power. That's called yielding. So the first part of this action power of God is releasing, both in the prayer of the Hezekiah and then in our own prayers, is to know that praying humbly isn't for wimps. That is, it's not for whining. It may be how we begin our prayers. But praying is moving beyond our whining to grow into the bigness of God so that we can grow up to be the size, to be greater than the size of the challenges that we find ourselves in the midst of. And we do that by being with God in God's own terms. This praying pushes us and matures us. This kind of praying causes us to kind of yield into it. Now, how did Hezekiah do this? Well, we find the history of this is found in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, but we're focusing on the story about the prayer chapter of the book of Isaiah, because this great king, Hezekiah, in troubling times, was also serving as king when Isaiah was the prophet and Micah was the prophet, two of the great prophets of all of Israel. And it was said then by Isaiah, in those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, now here's the good news that Isaiah said. This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you're going to die, you will not recover. There's the good news. And so that's the word that he received. And so Hezekiah, in the next verse then, went back to God and said, Lord, I've laid out all the plans that I've tried to serve you so that we could be faithful to you in the midst of the oppression of Assyria. And now I'm going to die? I tried to have people honor you in the worship throughout the land of Judah, and now I'm going to die? He took his ache into the presence of the Lord, and then out of that yielding, God was able to shape a healing in Hezekiah's life. On Friday, for some of us gathered in our chapel with Paige Kyle and family, that Paige's dad and Bobby's husband and Pam's dad and the beautiful Beale family. While we're there, then Paige's father, Bob Beale, who's the service was, who had recently passed away, when he was in his mid-40s, suffered a heart attack. He would live to be 83. When he was about a decade later, he had a second heart attack, and in 1999 had a heart transplant. In the midst of this, being an engineer for H.B. Zachary, in the midst of this, what did Bob do? He had a death sentence hanging with him every day, a cardiac illness. But he made all of his arrangements, bought a cemetery plot, laid out the funeral service, heart commitment to the family, laid out all the provisions that were there, and then he went on living. Went on living in an amazing way, much longer than ever expected. And instead of being in gloom about this cardiac illness and not knowing how long his heart transplant would last, he lived victoriously in the second half of life. Now, any of us can be intimidated by forces in life that come our way. And those forces of life may say to us, you're going down. But the voice of God says, no, if you will yield to me, I will bring my victory through you. A victory can look in different ways. We have a beautiful story and the story of Taylor Glisson. Taylor is the grandson of Letha, the son of Kathleen, who's here. Kath, would you please stand? And as Kath is here, then we're here. And remember that a year ago that Letha passed away, Taylor, who was baptized right up there during the time he was about to be sentenced to go to prison, but he gave his life to Christ, came up of the waters of resurrection, and knew though that he would be going to prison, the Lord would be with him. And so, when his grandmother passed away, and giving tender care and love with his mom, he wrote a letter, and this is part of the letter that he wrote to his mother that we read during the service. Now imagine, he's writing this not by being able to be in prison, but he was in prison. But he knew that his grandmother wasn't embarrassed of him. She just knew that's where his life story took him, but that wasn't the last word in Taylor's life. That God is a God of a second half. God is a God who wins. God is a God who, through the grace, comes and makes us whole as we rise again in His power. So he wrote, she, my grandmother, she taught me about love. She taught me about kindness and about compassion. She taught me about how to have faith in people, even when you knew they were going to let you down. She taught me about women and how to be in a good relationship and give respect and care. She gave me relationship advice. She taught me that the worst truth is more important than the best lie. And she helped to shape within me a humor, a compassion, a love, a truthfulness, a caring, the strength that gives me strength in my life today. If it wasn't for my grandmother, who would come and visit me at the windows there at the jail or in the prison, I know that I may not be alive today. I'm now halfway finished with my college degree, which I began while I was in prison because of his encouragement and his mother's encouragement, and learning a trade while he is in prison. And she kept me away from the fights and the gangs, otherwise I would be dead now. And the power of the faith of a grandmother, power of the love of a mother, having the sense, the confidence that God is a God who will win if we will yield our lives wherever we are into His presence. Now, what happens when we yield? We receive a blessing. We receive a blessing so that we will be a blessing. See, prayer doesn't change God's mind, though there's a lot of debate around that. What prayer does is prayer aligns us with God. And so the only point in question is, will we be aligned in order for God's best to happen through our life? To be able to get His best into our lives, and God is able to do more within us as we are humbly in His presence. We're then able to receive more of these blessings which occur. The blessing was wisdom, correction, instruction, his sense of holding us accountable and then coming in a repentance, or a sense of confidence and victory and joy, whatever it is needed to be truly aligned in God's presence and our circumstance of life. God wants us to trust Him. It is we then, as we change, that God's will is able to change our lives and yield us more into this blessing. So, this is what happened with Hezekiah, the king whose name means God strengthens. So the Lord says, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I will extend your life. I will deliver you and the people, and I will defend this city. Instead of it being a death sentence on him and over the city and for the people of southern Israel, God came then and said, out of your humility, you are in a position to be able to serve me and to be able for you to become then a miracle that I may show others of what it is that God is able to do through people who become a blessing and be a blessing to others. Now, as Debbie expressed in our children's sermon, there are many ways that we seek to extend this blessing, that you yourself be that blessing each day in your life. And that we join together, just like the Babushka doll, all join together as one. Together, we're able to do so much more than we can do individually. Your talents, your time, and your gifts. That by our offerings each Sunday, then there's a remarkable ministry that's able to happen. First, this weekend. You take this weekend, that yesterday morning, we were able to be at the dedication of a home that we helped to build, that by our Habitat of Humanity offering in the name of Jesus Christ for the purpose of helping this beautiful family of five, the Brain family, three little ones and a mom and a dad to have their home. They put sweat equity into the house. Now, that is a good news. It's a good news about a beginning. It's also a good news about a confidence of passing the blessing on. Yesterday morning, you were able to provide food, groceries for Thanksgiving for 115 families through the Bountiful Blessing. And the power then of taking that blessing, you in this season, may be a blessing by someone who comes to you to says, my heart is aching. It's hard to be grateful because of the pain that's happening in my life. And then you may, like a Hezekiah, say, I too know what it's like to have my heart broken. But in the midst of that, what I've discovered is that God strengthens. And that here is how God may do that with you right now. There's a cause about being a blessing, receiving of the blessing, to be a blessing. And then that takes us to action. Prayers. Prayers and action cause the gates of hell to tremble. Prayerful actions become the game changer in our world. That is, we rise from our prayer, having been humbled, having then become yielding, becoming that blessing. Then we take that as God's offering into the world. To think how that may work in your life. Another way that you help to do that, which hasn't been done for 50 years in San Antonio. We help to create a network of relationships into a community of people called the Interfaith San Antonio Alliance. We're founding members. I'm on the board. We're serving. On Friday, we had a proclamation about a work being done across the spectrum. Max was there. Gustavo, the Archbishop, was there. Sikhs and Jews were there. Buddhists were there. And I'm there. And part of why on behalf of Trinity and leading there is because we believe that everyone is made in the image of God, that there are major differences in world religions. But we have things in common. We can work together in common to bring about good and be a model of unity in a disunified world, a world seeking to kill itself. We can create a free marketplace to create opportunity for everyone. And then we are free to really share the faith of Christ into our world. So in the midst of this effort that we've been about, creating hope for a divided world about how it is that we may get along in light of differences without compromising what we believe. See, it's sweaty work, but it's good work to become a blessing, to be a blessing into the lives of others. So Hezekiah, in the midst of public pressure, heard that the oppressive king of Assyria, Sennacherib, had been killed by his sons. How's that for good measure? And had lost his power. But he himself was still sick. But then the hand of God healed him. And then he prayed in Isaiah 38:15. What can I say? That he has spoken to me, God himself has done this. And therefore I will walk humbly all my years of what I have learned in my soul. Do you remember the prophet Micah was active during the time of Isaiah and King Hezekiah? Micah, who would say, what does the Lord require of you? You, me, us. What does he require of us but to do justice, love, mercy? And what? Walk humbly with our God. Where do you think Hezekiah got that prayer? He'd heard that as the vision of God's blessing to be brought into the world for him to be a man of action by letting this humility of bold commitment to be with him. In the next 15 years of his life, he married the daughter of Isaiah. They formed a family. He continued as a king. And when his life came to an end, he'd felt the touch of God's miracle that had extended hope in our troubled world. Now, Jesus Christ prayed in difficult times. As our deacons come forward now and we prepare for the communion experience, we know that in the experience of Jesus in the last evening of his life on earth, called the disciples, men and women, called the apostles, men, into the upper room, had a meal with them, prayed with them, sang psalms with them like Jacob began in worship for us. And then he gave them a gift of a memory that continues on. The name in the New Testament for this is called Thanksgiving. It is the prayer of this Thanksgiving. Eucharist, communion, means Thanksgiving. That in this Sunday, with whatever is occurring in your life, that you may feel the goodness of God stirring in you with hope and a humility to be a person of action in light of the blessing that he gives. And so it was that Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it. and gave it in a way in which they then would give it to each other. And then by their giving it to each other, it would be given to the world. Unto you, O Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.